What's up, Vital MTB listeners? This is tech editor Jason Schroeder, and on today's podcast, I'm bringing you a pulse check on the state of our beloved mountain bike industry. Last week during the Sea Otter Classic, I chatted with some industry folks from Santa Cruz Bicycles, Max's Tires, Feedback Sports, Transition Bicycles, Industry 9, Orbea, FSA Trek, Hunt Wheels, and Privateer Bikes. And my question was pretty simple. Now that we are a few years past the COVID bike boom, what is the state of the industry? Are things good? Are they bad? And where do they see things going in the next 12 to 24 months? And here is what people had to say.
We're going to the second story of the Sea Otter Classic right now.
The penthouse.
All right, where is my questionnaire here?
Oh, wow, this is quite enjoyable up right? here. This ain't bad.
No.
All right, I'm here with Aaron from Max's Tires, and the question I've been hitting people with this weekend is, now that we're a few years post-COVID, it's been a lot of talk about just the state of the industry. It sounds like most people agree we're in a bit of a lull right now, and I'm just curious for you guys how it's been and maybe where you see things in the next year to 2 years.
Yeah, it's been interesting for sure, to say the least. We're in a good spot overall. Maxis is a huge company. The bicycle side of the business is actually a fairly small portion of our like overall business. You know, obviously we sell a ton of car tires and moto tires. We are in a good spot. Our sales are down. I think that's pretty, everyone's sales are down. But if you kind of take out the COVID years, we're still trending upwards. So we're on a good trajectory. We feel good about where we're at. It's still very uncertain for a lot of other brands in the industry, and I think there'll be some more things to shake out in the next year to 18 months probably. I will say, last year there was quite a bit of doom and gloom about 2023, but also people thinking that 2024 was going to be a really rough year as well. And at least to get started, it's been better than expected.
Cool.
I think kind of the riding season kicked off a little bit earlier this year. That was one of the issues last year. Winter kind of went long for everybody. Mm-hmm. Being in a seasonal business like bikes, that definitely has an impact. So, I guess all that to say is still a little bit of a rocky road I guess to put it in mountain biking terms, we're almost at the top of the hill, and hopefully we're about to, lock in for a sweet descent in a good way.
I dig it. Separate of that, what is one trend in mountain biking you think needs to go away?
Ooh, one trend that needs to go away.
Or that grinds your gears, however you want to look at it.
Yeah. Man, that's a good question. Me personally, this is very personal. I'm not big on like electronics on bikes. Like I haven't ridden a ton of e-bikes. And I know that's a little bit different, but for me, I mean, riding is kind of a way to like disconnect and really focus. And I think a lot of people have a very short attention span, and kind of riding is one of the few times where I can really just like everything else fades away and I'm just enjoying my time in the woods. I record my rides, but I usually do it on my phone. I don't have like any sort of display on my handlebars, and I'm still like a big mechanical drivetrain guy. I ride a lot in the backcountry, and things can go sideways, and it's nice to be able to hobble out of the woods with some bodge trail side, and it just seems maybe a little harder to do with all the electronic stuff. And I just feel like electronics in general, like all this tech is supposed to make our lives easier, but you're like, oh shit, I gotta pair my watch with my cranks, but it's not communicating with my hub, and now my now I can't use my dropper post.
Yeah.
You know, so
I like that.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we need mechanical drivetrains and droppers still.
Yeah.
You know? There's still a need.
Yeah. It's lighter, you know, easier to work on.
There's something crisp about the mechanical feel of things too.
Yeah.
That you lose with especially wireless components.
Yeah.
So from like a that like invested into the experience, it's hard to be like all of just the things we grew up on, you're used to.
Yeah. I went on a ride with a buddy last weekend, and he was like, oh, I need to be sure I have like a spare derailleur battery, and he's like, how long is this ride? And I'm like, oh, we're gonna be gone all day. And he's like, oh, I better get a battery for my shifter too. And I'm like, dang, I mean, it's good to be prepared, but yeah, the fewer things I have to remember to get out the door and on the trail, the better, I think.
All right, what are we doing here? What's the question?
It's about just the state of the industry.
Okay.
Cool. It's pretty open-ended.
I think so.
I mean, you can answer it as openly or vaguely or however you want to do it.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm here with Garen from Santa Cruz Bicycles. And my simple question for you is that we're a few years post-COVID, and there's a lot of talk about just where the industry's at. Are we on a lull? Are we coming out of it? And I'm just curious from your perspective with Santa Cruz, how things have been for you guys.
Good question. Hi, Jason.
On the spot. Hello.
On the spot. Johnny on the spot. I think we're at a holding pattern right now.
Okay.
I think the industry is in a better place than it was 2 months ago, and I think we're going to see an incremental improvement as we go along. One thing that there still is a lot of supply.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of supply from the market leaders. The big dogs have a lot of product in the field, and they will continue to put that in there. So it's a really good time to buy a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the best time ever to buy a bicycle. Mm-hmm. That said, there's also a bunch of new product coming. Let's move over here away from the side-by-side. there's also a lot of new product coming. So
yeah.
The brands who are still developing and still have enough skin in the game to keep the ball moving forward are probably going to come out with a lot of cool shit this year, and we're included in that.
Nice.
I think as a closing note, I think it's real sad to see some of the middle ground struggling right now.
Yeah.
I'm hearing some stuff from buddies and people around the show about other brands that are having a bit more trouble in these sort of slow times than we are, and that's real sad to see.
Yeah.
So let's hope that we can all just hang on, keep making great product, keep keeping our customers happy with the riding bikes and doing what we're all here to do, and press on.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. One last question.
Mm-hmm.
What's one trend in mountain biking you think needs to die and go away?
E-bikers riding up the wrong side of the street with their seats down. How about that one?
I like it. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that yet.
One trend in mountain biking. For the record, I love e-bikers. I do ride e-bikes, but come on, you know? Pull it together. That's all I got.
All right, I like it.
You're going to ask me what's the state of the bike industry?
More or less, yes.
Okay, I'm gonna be like, well, it's pretty rowdy. A lot of moving pieces. I'm going to do a Lebowski thing.
Do it. Okay.
I'm like, well, you know, it's a complicated case.
All right.
Complicated case, Jason. A lot of strands. A lot of ins and outs. A lot of strands.
I think that's what the general vibe is. All right. I'm here with Ross from Trek, and I'm posing the question to everybody this weekend that's, you know, simply put, what's the state of the bike industry post-COVID? And with that, maybe where do you see it going in the next 12 to 24 months?
Well, it's a complicated case, Jason. There's a lot of ins and outs, a lot of strands in old Duder's head. It's a bit gnarly out there, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes and see where the dust settles at the end of this year. And hopefully we'll be going into next year feeling a lot stronger.
I love it. It's perfect.
Awesome. I love a good Lebowski cameo.
Okay, not related to industry talk. What is one trend in mountain biking that you think needs to end?
Ooh, I feel like cable headset routing is too easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably everybody's answer.
There has been a few.
I'm going to say gatekeeping.
I love that answer.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit too much gatekeeping going on, and I would love to see us be more inclusive to new riders or riders that don't necessarily follow the trends. I think it's a sport for everybody, and we could be a little bit more welcoming.
Perfect. Wholesome.
Right?
Make sure I'm recording. Alrighty, I'm joined now by Sam from Privateer Bikes and Hunt Wheels. The question I've been hitting everybody with is just, now that we're a little bit post-COVID and the industry has kind of dropped from that anomaly few years we had of things really booming, there's a lot of talk just what is the state of the industry right now and how are brands doing. So just curious, how have things been for you guys?
Yeah, that's a really great question. That's a really good time to be checking in. I think that we're very optimistic that sort of demand is beginning to kick up. Seasonality has been a thing that over the last few weeks has certainly helped drive sales in a big way. And I think this past year has been really challenging. I think if you wanted to continue to be profitable like that, I mean, really just being flat, I think for many brands was the target this year. That's been a really difficult place, I think, for many brands to actually get to and achieve. So hindsight's obviously 2020, right? I think a lot of different decisions would have been made over the course of COVID in terms of you know, I guess production timelines and inventory levels and, you know, all these things that, you know, we just wanted to feed a market because there was demand. Mm-hmm. I don't think that anyone would have backed off and not sold, you know, to the consumer that was there and ready to throw down cash. Like, totally. You know, I looked at a demand chart just this morning that showed extremely high levels, you know, during COVID. And then that's sort of like dropped off drastically over the last year. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing lots of brands sort of drop off and have difficult times. Even this week at mm-hmm. Sea Otter, right? We heard some news about a brand that that is about to, you know, go through or starting to go through something really, really difficult. So we feel for every single brand that's had a struggle this year, and we hope that every single brand makes it through. But anyway, yeah, I'm optimistic. There's a lot of leading indicators. Like I saw some data that some IBDs are starting to pick up in a big way. So I think that consumption has happened over the last year a fair bit, even though there was a lot of product flushed into the market. Mm-hmm. And going into this season, you know, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be, I think, what any of us hope it to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm fairly optimistic that if you're aggressive and strategic and you've got the right product, you know, there is a possibility that you're going to have some success in this year. Like that, you know, that's where we're at. Like that's where we hope to be. So, and we're starting to see it, which is cool. And I don't think every brand's starting to see that. I think you need to be smart in this market. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say it's an exciting time to kind of see things start to kick up again. Mm-hmm. And you know, probably next year, realistically, is when things will sort of get back to a quote-unquote normal industry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm assuming you guys probably sold more product than you were previously during the COVID years. Like those were a good 18 months for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you adjust, you know, say maybe now things are a little bit lower. Do you focus more on your customers that you did get during that time and making sure that, like, you know, we have wheels if things do go wrong, the customer service side? Like, it seems like that part of business really got highlighted during COVID because we had all these new riders join us.
Yeah.
And that experience got really amplified and magnified. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are a few things there to unpack, I suppose. I suppose the first one is, yes, there was an influx of demand during COVID. And I think that hindsight bit that I previously mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, it was difficult for us. Mm-hmm. Like, we were positioned, I think, in a really good place. We were already on an exponential growth curve as kind of the new kids on the block with a different business model, adding a lot of value for riders out there and a really high-end product mix mm-hmm. on the aftermarket wheel side. And I think that we were positioned really well going into that sort of spike mm-hmm. Because we already had a pre-order model sort of built into what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So when the demand skyrocketed and the supply sort of plateaued mm-hmm. and started to fall, we were in a position where we could continue in a healthy way and not get ourselves in an inventory situation. we were able to sort of work through it and never really be nervous about how many boxes we had in our warehouse.
Yeah.
Kind of all through COVID, right? And even coming out of it, when the demand started to fall. So I think that we were sort of unique in that way, and we had a lot of opportunity to kind of keep our growth momentum going. But but as things have fallen off, obviously for many brands, with that model still, like, you know, we're able to kind of be in a healthy place, I suppose, and not be too far extended, I guess.
Sweet. Yeah. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Positive. all right, one last question.
Yeah.
There's one trend in mountain biking you think needs to go away. What is it?
Oh, man, that's a good question. What's the most annoying thing about mountain biking? I mean, really, I love all kinds of mountain biking, but I don't know if I have one, honestly. Like, I'm an equal opportunity mountain biker.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I have one. Like, the mullet thing, I'm, like, staring at a mullet bike right now, and, like, I haven't gone there, but it makes a lot of sense. And, like, I'm mullet curious, I suppose, or, you know, mixed wheel curious. And, it, you know, I don't know if I'll do it, but there are some cool trends that are happening. There's some neat stuff, and I don't like to discount anything because you never know what's going to evolve from the weird, crazy thing that you're seeing, right? Like, it might not be, if I'm annoyed by something, that thing might evolve into something really, really cool and make a lot of sense and be the, you know, greatest innovation to mountain biking ever, you know, 5 years down the road. But there are a lot of trends. I would say what's more annoying is, like, on the gravel side, gravel bikes are trying to turn into 90s mountain bikes. And, like, that's a little annoying, I guess. But those bikes are still fun because we all like to ride off-road, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
You almost tried to plead the fifth, but
I know,
we got it out of
there,
you.
But I went there. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All righty, I got Lars here from Transition Bikes. Lars, the question I've been chatting to people with this weekend is just, now that we're a few years post-COVID, and there's been a lot of talk about kind of where the industry's at, I would say most people agree that we're in a little bit of a lull after the boom of COVID, and I'm just curious how it's been for you guys and for Transition through everything.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. First of all, stoked to be back here at Sea Otter. It's my first time here in 10 years and first time not racing, which has been awesome. And I think this is, we've only had a booth here once previously, and I think that was like 2006 or 7. So super fun to get back. I was actually really excited to get down here, and it's rad to experience Sea Otter again. And to your question, like, you could be standing here in the middle of Sea Otter. Looks like nothing's changed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. Everybody seems stoked. And as far as state of the industry, I mean, we're still dealing with a lot of unknowns, as everybody is. And I'm sure right now everybody's experiencing different things. Mm-hmm. However, like, I feel like right now the best thing you can do is be nimble and be ready to adapt, you know, to the changes as things like have lulled a bit and then are starting to pick up. I think the general consensus is things are kind of trending a good direction. I can't speak for anybody but us, you know, but yeah, I would say things are good.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to be back here and just kind of like get immersed in the whole mountain bike scene again, you know, an expo.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Not like a race or, well, I guess this is a race, but
yeah,
for us.
It's more expo than a race.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, I would agree that even Thursday, the first day here, felt really crowded. And then talking to brands the whole time I've been here, everybody's got new stuff still. Everybody's still trying to move the needle forward. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm more doing this because everybody always asking me, like, I heard the bike industry is really hurting right now. And I'm like, I don't really catch that vibe. And people generally are stoked to be working with bikes, riding bikes. We got all these new riders during COVID,
totally.
Which there's a lot of opportunity there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that what we went through in the last 4 years was like this huge surge, you know, and like maybe change your expectations of where things were going. But like the reality is, like, we all knew it was never going to last, you know, and the best thing you could have done throughout that is be prepared for when it started to like chill a little bit, you know, and simmer. And I mean, you can only do what you can do, you know, but yeah, I mean, most of us are all still here, and RIP a few. And it's never good to see that. Nobody wants that. And it's unfortunate, but yeah, we're all thankful to be here. And I think I could speak for everybody in the mountain bike industry that we're all thankful to be here still doing the thing. And it's really nice to be able to work in an industry where we deal with toys, you know. And
never forget,
it's good, that's a good reality check. Yeah.
All right, what's one trend in mountain biking you think needs to go away? And it can be bicycles, gear, culture, whatever angle you want to put on it.
Bro culture?
Okay. Define bro culture.
I don't know. I think that we should embrace people that want to be a part of the thing that we do, you know, and welcome people with open arms. You know, it's like, and I mean, everybody probably has a different definition of bro culture, but like inclusivity, you know, like we're all here doing this thing, and we want to be doing it together. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Alrighty, I'm joined now by Zach from Feedback Sports. And the question I've been posing this weekend to people is just what your thoughts are on the state of our industry post-COVID. A lot of chat about the industry's in a little bit of a lull, but I think the more people I've been talking to, optimism is high. I'm just curious how things have been for you guys.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Optimism is high. Yesterday, Thursday, was the first day of Sea Otter Classic, and I've been doing this for 20 years. It's one of the busiest Thursdays I've ever seen.
I would agree.
So people are excited to be here. The weather's beautiful. Everybody seems really positive, engaged. They want to talk, and that feels really good. Mm-hmm. So the optimism is super high. And we all recognize the last 12 months were a challenge, you know, post-COVID. A lot of bicycles were produced, and that sort of, you know, had a ripple effect through a lot of us that are trying to, you know, to make bikes and accessories available to the riding public. For us, we're actually seeing an uptick in our sales through our direct channels.
Okay.
Which means people are finding us, and you know, they've got cool new bikes, and now it's like, I need storage for my new bike. I need a repair stand so I can wash my new bike. I need tools so I can work on my new bike. And so that's kind of where we sit.
Yeah.
We have seen that our, you know, direct to distributor sales have not quite yet picked up, mostly in Europe.
Hmm.
So Europe is lagging the US in terms of like normalizing.
Okay.
We can say inventory levels, sort of like selling levels and stuff like that. But 6 to 12 months, and it's going to be game on. And honestly, here in the U.S. right now, feels like game on.
Yeah. Do you happen to know if how you guys sit maybe as a brand post-COVID compared to pre-COVID? Because I've heard a lot of people mention that if you compare things to the boom during COVID, it feels like things are doom and gloom more, but if you compare it to more a normal landscape prior, it's really not that much different. I don't know if that maybe rings true for you guys.
It's hard to say at this point in the year.
Yeah, okay.
So it's still kind of early days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I think 6 to 12 months is going to be the real litmus test.
Yep.
That's kind of it's cool. Kind of hard to say
totally.
This point.
All right, fun question. What's one trend in mountain biking you think needs to go away?
Oh my word, one trend. I've got one for you. If you like to listen to music while you're riding, go ahead and keep it to yourself. Wear the earbuds, don't broadcast on your Bluetooth speaker from your handlebars. Like, sorry, but I don't want to hear your music. Thank you.
Perfect. All right, I'm here with Patrick from FSA. I have a simple question for you. we're a couple years post-COVID, and there's been a lot of talk just about the state of the industry right now. Are things good? Are they bad? So how have things been for you guys, and kind of where do you see things in the next 12 to 24 months?
They've been slower. There's no doubt that we've seen a slowdown in everything. But at the same time, we haven't been completely... We're not having massive issues with it or things like that. We're lucky with the FSA vision that we have such a wide range of product that, you know, if low-end mountain isn't doing well, then high-end road is, or triathlon or something balances something. So in that sense, we've weathered the storm quite well. Obviously, we do a lot of OE stuff, and that slowed down a little bit. But overall, it could have been a lot worse. It's been pretty solid for us, so that's kind of a nice thing.
Sweet. Do you, if you could look into the future, do you think that we're climbing out of maybe where we are, or?
I think we're definitely near the bottom. I mean, since we just have this new stuff about Kona and seeing what poll just happened, I think we might see another couple of those. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. But I think long term, I'd say a year. Maybe a year and a half, we'll start to see a real solid return. I think we'll start climbing soon. We still see some really good demand at the shop level and kind of with our small but solid direct-to-consumer. Mm-hmm. So there's still demand out there. It's just taking time to work through the industry and work through products. So.
Sweet. All right, not related to that. Last question. What's one trend in mountain biking you think should go away?
This is going to be kind of entertaining based on the fact that we make them for a ton of companies, but as a true mountain biker, I even have to agree with the internal headset routing. We make the solutions for all the companies that do it. We do a great job, but as a mechanic and a mountain biker, I'll take clean internal routing over that any day of the week.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm at the Industry 9 booth right now, chatting with Dave about just the state of our bicycle industry post-COVID. We're a few years past the boom that our industry experienced, and there's been a lot of chat, there's a lot of chat about just what is the state of the industry. Things are lower than they once were, but does that mean we're in a bad spot? Curious with you guys, being able to make so many of your products in-house, kind of how you weathered that storm during COVID, and how it's been for you guys now.
Yeah, so, everyone in the industry is feeling it to some degree. It's been a difficult sea otter with, the news that's been kind of floating around with a couple bike brands closing up shop, and you always hate to see, your industry colleagues, looking for jobs. It's tough out there. Personally, for Industry 9, we have had some ups and downs, but overall, we've built our boat to weather the storm. We knew that the COVID bike boom was just going to be that, just a boom. So we saved well. We planned for it, and the fact that we were able that we do make a lot of our product in North Carolina allows us to kind of scale that. Now, granted, that does have its own ripple effects in our own manufacturing facility, but it does allow us to have a little bit more flexibility. Another thing that I think that's helped us is, the fact that we operate in a lot of different sales channels, and we're able to kind of focus our attention a little bit to the sales channels that are performing. So, right after COVID, when the industry did see its glut of inventory arrive, the bike brands were they were all full up, distributors were all full up, but we did see an appetite in the consumer direct channel. So we were able to focus on that. The consumer direct channel is still looking good for us. We are starting to see some recovery more on the OEM, a little bit on the supplier side of things too. So, we're encouraged by that, but I think we are still seeing kind of the final, I don't want to say the final, but we are still seeing hopefully kind of the end of the bullwhip effect, where we see these kind of demand spikes followed by a lull, followed by a spike, followed by a lull. So as those kind of ripple effects kind of settle out, you know, we'll probably see some more volatility for a little bit yet. And, you know, not to get all doom and gloom, but we might see a couple more kind of sad stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, in terms of where Industry 9 is positioned, again, I think we're in a good place to weather the storm.
Sweet. Awesome. That's good news. I love to hear it. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
I almost forgot my fun question after all of the talk about industry stuff. There's one trend in mountain biking that you would like to see go away. What would that be?
A trend in mountain biking that I would like to see go away?
Or that grinds your gears, makes you chuckle, you don't get it. Whatever your angle is, but everyone's got hot takes on different things around bicycles.
Oh man, this is a tough one. I mean, I am notoriously and maybe too diplomatic in my approach of things.
You're not the only one when I've asked this question to that has gone that route. But you can't plead the fifth. You gotta find something, no matter how nice you want it to be.
Yeah, man, I gotta think about that one a little bit. I gotta think about that one.
It's all right. We're kind of silence.
Yeah. We'll go dead air for a split second here. So how about maybe, and this might be a thing that I-9 might be able to have a hand in, and it's not necessarily mountain bike technology or product offering, but let's bring back 24-hour racing. Lights are to a spot where you can do it super fun, and I think that, you know, if there's nothing that's nothing new under the sun, some of my greatest times on a mountain bike were that sunrise lap. So I know there's still a handful of them out there, and my buddies that know, all my outbound buddies and my glowworm buddies, all my light buddies, they'll love hearing that. But yeah, if it's something that grinds my gears, it's the lack of sunrise laps in mountain biking.
Sick. I like it. I've not heard that one. That's perfect. Sweet. Thank you.
Yep.
Alrighty, I'm here with Parker from Orbea, and the question I've been posing to people this weekend is just, what's the state of our industry post-COVID? And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on things and maybe where you see it going in the next 12 to 24 months.
Absolutely. I mean, from my perspective, both being in the industry and part of a, you know, mid to larger size bicycle brand, I think we're in an interesting time. We're in a little turning point. Exiting COVID, I mean, we've seen some turbulent waters, but we've got a little bright spot coming. I think there's lots of cool products coming out. There's lots of interesting innovations still coming to the market, and that's exciting and interesting. It's showing progress. It's showing we're moving forward, and ultimately a lot of brands are able to, you know, see the scale of where things have settled after COVID, comparing to where we were before COVID, knowing that we're a little bit bigger, we're a little bit better than we were. We've seen people come to the sport, and those are bright spots. I think some small companies, some smaller brands, will feel a little struggle as we do truly settle after some of these times here, as everything comes back to what is the new normal. But ultimately, I think we're in a cool place. We're in a good spot as an industry right now.
Yeah. Have you guys had to do anything unique in the last year or so to be methodical with just a different landscape post-COVID, or kind of just more business as usual despite, like, you know, things booming and kind of now settling?
Absolutely. We're in a little interesting place compared to a lot of people in the industry, because we're a just-in-time manufacturer. So we build bikes if you order them. So we don't deal with warehousing. We don't deal with some of the overstocking that some manufacturers have dealt with as things expanded and then contracted, right? And those orders finally came, and you ended up with a little bit larger inventory than you may have needed once they finally arrived. We're able to adjust manufacturing scale based on the orders that are out there. So as orders change, as people may not need something, we can adjust accordingly. So, I mean, long story short, we've basically been able to process, you know, business as usual. But we've seen fluctuation in that. We've had to be nimble, but thankfully it works for us as a company, which has put us in a better place than some, just because of our business model.
Sweet. All right. Last question. What's one trend in mountain biking you think needs to go away?
it's a hard question, and everybody's going to have a different answer at this point in time. At this point, I don't know. All evolution is good, so I'm just going to plead the fifth.
What? All right, fine. Hold on. I can't let you plead the fifth. Let's do, call it bike industry, but not related to the bicycle itself. Maybe more of a cultural or, you know, clothing, whatever that might be. There's got to be something that you're like, really? Maybe we don't need to do this anymore.
No more backpack speakers.
All right. That, I'll take that. That's good. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, that concludes this podcast. Hopefully you are like me, and after listening to people's answers, you feel more optimistic and excited about the state of mountain biking than before. Sea Otter last week was absolutely jam-packed, the most crowded I've seen it in years. And the vibe amongst racers, riders, industry people, and media squids like myself was that things are going to be all right. We're going to go ahead and make it through this, and thankfully, bikes are still as fun as ever. So get out there and ride your bike, and when you can, support the brands that get you stoked on two wheels.